Well, thanks for listening. If you like the episode and you want to support more shows like this, make a small donation as low as 99 cents a month. Hit the support button in the Anchor Network. Or you can sponsor an episode highlighting your own school. Hit me up. Can we keep it real? You want to sponsor the show? And thank you to our sponsor, PocketCast.com. PocketCast has all new functions, easy search results, listen without subscribing. So go check out PocketCast.com. It's in your app store, or you can go to Google Play Store and download it now. You'll be glad you did. So shout out to PocketCast.com. Let's get into this. And thanks for listening and keep coming back and support. Can We Keep It Real podcast, bringing unsung sports to you. What's going on? Welcome to another edition. How are we doing today, Friday morning? Well, the Super Bowl is coming up on us. Regular season is now over. And soon, free agency is going to begin in March, right? Where every NFL team really has a lot of decision-making to do. I mean, in any given year, you got front offices. They have to decide whether to keep players that have value. See what players will link extensions, you know, to make the numbers work. But there's always players, teams who come up short in a contract year, or they may have competition at the position that they play. New England Patriots, Bill Belichick is good for bringing in younger guys that have talent late in the draft. Some others, maybe they could see the writing on the wall that their team selects a rookie maybe in the early drafts. Or now they may lose a starting role. Some free agents have already engaged in extension talks. A lot of the agents themselves has been talking with their clients. Clients been talking with their agents. You know, some current organizations, they may have more than enough to get rid of. But some free agents have to test the market just to see where their numbers come in, whether they're restricted, not restricted. I mean, why don't we go through some of these, you know, name-worthy free agents, you know, for each team. Based on their draft status, you know, we'll check their track record as a starter. What teams should not retain this offseason? You know, people that maybe they might get away from. Like Arizona Cardinals defensive tackle Rodney Gunter, right? The Cardinals' decision, they hired Steve Wilks as the head coach, and it didn't really work. But defensive tackle Rodney Gunter, he benefited from the 4-3 base scheme that they were running. In 2018, Gunter had his best season in 4 years with the Arizona Cardinals, logging 4.5 sacks, 32 solo tackles, 11 tackles for a loss. Arizona's transitioning back to a 3-4 scheme under a new coordinator, Vance Joseph, which I think the Broncos let him get away. The 27-year-old impending free agent, he may find better fit elsewhere, maybe in a four-man rotation. He could penetrate in a one-gap assignment, but other than that, I really don't know. I mean, the Cardinals will have some interior defensive linemen. You got Corey Peters. The other guy, Robert Nick Dime, I can't even pronounce his name. Nick Dime, I think it is, but they're going into a crucial fourth year on the books in 2019 with the number one overall pick. The front office will have a shot to select a standout defensive lineman in the upcoming draft, too. There's a good one, Quentin Williams, that I'm sure they're keeping their eye on. But Gunter could receive a raise from another team because of his production in 2018. But are they going to run a 4-3? Arizona will have enough options to really avoid any competition for his services, you know, so they could pretty much get rid of him. Someone I had on one of my Patriot fantasy teams was running back Tevin Coleman. Atlanta Falcons, their general manager, he's prepared for a running back Tevin Coleman's upcoming free agency. When they'll probably select Ito Smith in the fourth round. they actually did select Edo Smith in the fourth round of the 2018 draft. I mean, Devontae Freeman been limited to a few games this season because of a groin problem. So Smith played extensively along Coleman. Smith ended up having 90 rushing attempts for like 315 yards. He had 4 touchdowns. He caught 27 passes for 152 yards. His production wasn't really mind-blowing, was it? He did flash the ability to catch and run out of the backfield, though. I really got to say that. Which is just like Coleman's skill set. I mean, Freeman and Smith, they'll probably move forward as the backfield tandem in Atlanta. But on the open market, can Tevin Coleman cash in on his dual threat capabilities? I mean, he's only 25, and he's coming off pretty much one of his best seasons, having over 1,000 yards from the line of scrimmage. For the Atlanta Falcons, it's hard to justify keeping a third running back who's due to get, you know, pretty much a lot of money. Another team we got to keep an eye on, the Ravens. I mean, did they make the right choice in signing wide receiver John Brown? He connected with quarterback Joe Flacco during camp last year. I mean, a lot of the chemistry translated to production on the field. He's 28, and he led the team in receiving yards with 601, 4 touchdowns through week 9. He also had a couple 100-yard outings in the first half of the season. But now you got quarterback Lamar Jackson take over as a starter in week 11. And his production kind of dipped down a little bit. You know, Flacco was probably more comfortable with him. He's a fifth-year wideout. He hauled in 8 passes for 114 yards and a touchdown from week 9 on. So, what's the Ravens front office going to do? Are they going to look for a big body target at wide receiver to help Jackson grow as a passer? I mean, he's 5'11", 178 pounds. Brown doesn't really fit that mold. Is he going to follow Joe Flacco to wherever he ends up, since the two click together so well? How about the Buffalo Bills, man? They got that outside guard, John Miller. And I think they really need to overhaul their offensive line. The Bills quarterback took a combined 41 sacks in 2018, and they just can't let that happen. Ball carriers were stuffed on 20% of their carries. And during the college football playoff title game, running back LeSean McCoy tweeted about Alabama linemen blocking him, although he eventually ended up deleting it. But are the 2018 season grades, are they going to come into this? Are they going to point out that offensive guard John Miller's, his individual struggles on the interior line? I mean, John Miller, really? He could not handle interior rushes on a play-by-play basis on Madden. As Buffalo's trying to build around quarterback Josh Allen, it's really important that they strengthen their offensive line. Because if you have better pass protection and a more productive ground attack, that would really help the rookie signal caller progress this year going into 2019. We'll see what general manager Brandon Bean can look towards free agency to try to get a veteran guard or a short-term deal, or maybe take an interior lineman on day 2 of the draft. Chicago Bears, another team that has some wide receiver issues. I mean, you've seen general manager Ryan Pace flip the team's wide receiver unit one in the offseason. He signed Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. Then he selected, who's that kid? The Bear kid, Anthony Miller, in the second round of last year's draft. So all of a sudden you got quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, that, you know, a new name, you know, maybe a new star coming up, the new aligning of the gods. I mean, now he has a solid receiving core, and as a result, Kevin White. Now we move back on the line at his position, right? So since coming out of coming out of the 7th overall pick in 2015 out of West Virginia, right? White has been able to stay healthy, but this season, he appeared in a career-high 9 games, but his availability came a bit too late. By then, the former Mountaineer didn't even start a game in 2018, so I think the Bears are going to move on from White. I mean, he has injury history, so that don't help him. and the Bears no longer really have a need at wide receiver, which opens up, you know, he could get some, maybe he can get some shots or recognition elsewhere in the NFL. The Denver Broncos are looking to find a new sack partner for Von Miller this past April when they selected Bradley Chubb with the number 5 overall pick. And Bradley Chubb, he didn't waste any time chasing down quarterbacks. He had 12 sacks as a rookie. A few years ago, Denver expected Shane Ray to hold the starting spot opposite Miller, and he logged 8 sacks in the 16 season, but he had only 2 sacks in 2 years since then. You know, he's a Missouri product. He did get hurt. I think he tore a ligament in his wrist back in 2017. He ended up missing the first 5 or 6 games. I'm not really sure, but he needed that time to recover. I know the Broncos did decline to pick up his 5th-year option last offseason, which was the first sign that they really didn't see him in their future. So, I mean, he ended up serving as a backup to Chubb in 2018 and was really a healthy and active the last few games of Denver's season. But the Broncos, I don't think they have a spot for this guy. I mean, he was a 2015 first rounder, so I think Denver Broncos will move on from him. Detroit Lions, another surprising name. I think they're going to move on from LeGarrette Blount also. Maybe they thought taking LeGarrette Blount, he had Super Bowl luck, you know, going with the Patriots, going with the Eagles, and then he moves on, you know. But the Detroit Lions ended up hiring Darrell Bevell to take over their offensive coordinator responsibilities. And while he was doing it as a play caller for the Seattle Seahawks, he fielded top 5 rushing attacks in 4 consecutive years, 2012 to 2015. I mean, yeah, he did have Marshawn Lynch and Thomas Rawls, so together, how can you not? But last year, the Lions spent the first round pick on center Frank Ragno and a second round on running back Kerryn Johnson. The arrival of Bevell suggests that they're going to continue, you know, to run the ball physically. A ground attack. Detroit's backfield could really use a power back, you know, to put next to Johnson. LeGarrette Blount, I don't know if he's a suitable fit at this stage in his career. He's been around a little while. Is he losing it? In 2018, Blount averaged 2.7 yards per carry as the team's leader in rushing attempts with 154. He's now 32 years old, but he does have the body type of a 6-foot, 250 pounder for that role. But I don't think he longer has the burst for significant work. We'll be right back with more. What teams are going to release? What notable players this year to sign some better people? It's your boy Mikey Ribello, host of the Can We Keep It Real. Thank you for listening. Talk to you real soon. Welcome back. It's Can We Keep It Real? How you doing? In our last segment, we were talking about, you know, some NFL players that their teams, I don't think they'll be holding on to them. Come March, you know, the beginning of the season, you know, a lot of teams have to make some tough decisions. Green Bay Packers, an organization that is obviously dysfunctional, a great place probably to play, but another place where the wide receiver has to deal with the quarterback, and it's a place where the quarterback runs the organization. Green Bay Packers, Randall Cobb. I think his time in Green Bay is done. I mean, he's going to come to an end after 8 seasons and playing with pretty boy Aaron Rodgers. In 2018, he finished the season with 38 catches for 383 yards, 2 touchdowns in 9 interferences. He had a hamstring injury and a concussion, and it ended up costing him 7 games. With Cobb hurt, rookie 5th rounder Marquise Scantling ended up finishing in a few games, and he played very, very well. The rookie Scantling recorded 2 100-yard performances in Week 6 and another one in Week 9. He emerged as a big play threat, averaging 15.3 yards per reception. He's developing a lot of chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. You know, is it going to help the product of South Florida blossom into a consistent contributor behind Dante Adams? In addition to Scanton, rookie fourth rounder Jamon Moore, sixth rounder St. Brown, they're going to need more targets moving forward also. So remember, out with the old, in with the new, it seems this year. The Packers' young talent at the position really makes Cobb expendable, especially because he's coming off a disappointment injury-plagued year. You know, I could see New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, picking up somebody like Randall Cobb. They are always good at picking up older guys late in their career and doing something with them to make them a productive football player. The Houston Texans defensive line, Brandon Dunn, he's a player that I think the Texans are going to get rid of, but their tackle Brandon Dunn took on an expanded role over the last 2 years. He started like 18 to 30 games, racking up 30 solo tackles for a loss and a few quarterback hits. But as a gap stuffer, he isn't really putting up big numbers in tackles and sacks. So I think he's going to be replaceable when his contract expires. But instead of paying Dunn more for roughly 25 tackles a year, I think they're going to look for an upgrade during the draft. Loaded with a lot of defensive talent, the front office could acquire some prospects with more upside who are capable of lining up in different spots across the line of scrimmage. That's really what Houston Texans need. I think Dunn played 10 starts this season, the most in a single season during his 5-year career, so maybe he can get a deal elsewhere. But Houston, I think they're going to start looking for a younger defensive line, another lineman to really fill the void. The Colts, wide receiver Ryan Grant, you're out of here. The Colts signed this guy to a 1-year, $5 million deal last March in hopes of surrounding quarterback Andrew Luck with another option, but he came up short. On the season, he had 35 catches for a little over 300 yards and one touchdown. After week 5, he just vanished. No more than 2 receptions in a game for the remainder of the year. So I think their general manager, Chris Ballard, they're going to have a league-high $115 million salary cap space this offseason. So they're really going to be able to spend some money. They might be something to deal with, but I don't know how much Andrew Luck really has left in him. He's been around for a few years, been hurt a few of them years. But you got T.Y. Hilton along with Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle. But a solid number 2 option, I think, would add a little more fire to the Colts' passing attack. The Colts have several pass catchers who could really produce in any given week, such as Chester Rogers, running back Himes. Nonetheless, Colts need a wide receiver who can kind of draw attention away from Hilton down the field. And I don't think Grant is the answer. Tom Coughlin, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got some work to do because for a team that was supposed to be playoff caliber last year, you know, finished, I think, in the bottom 4. But this offseason, the Jaguars gave Marquise Lee a 4-year, $34 million extension. They signed wide receiver Dante Moncrief to a 1-year, $9 million contract. And then they selected DJ Chark Jr. in the second round of the 18 draft. So you got Westbrook, Keelan Cole. They rounded out Jacksonville's interior depth chart, right? So assuming Lee recovers from ligament damage that he suffered to his knee, and that's hard ligament damage to come back from, the Jaguars don't really need to invest in another veteran wide receiver, do they? Someone that's maybe looking for a new deal? Are they going to lean on their physical offensive identity, running the ball effectively? Until the front office figures out a long-term answer at quarterback. But this could be the year. I mean, there's some quarterbacks coming out the draft. I believe Jacksonville has, you know, a top 5 pick in the first round. So you got Westwood, Cole, Chalk. Are they going to be enough of an aerial weapons for whoever starts on the center next season? Running back Leonard Fournette, met with the team earlier this month to clear the air on some issues after an overwhelming 2018 season. He's expected to remain with the club through 2019. But between Jaguars' depth chart and the roster makeup, they really don't need Moncrief return in 2019. And I'm not so sure Leonard Fournette's going to stick around much longer either. To lose in the AFC Championship game, Kansas City Chiefs, they have to upgrade their cornerback unit with younger talent. Opposing number one wide receivers racked up about 80 yards per contest against the defense. That's the fourth most in the league. The front office really needs to re-sign that Steven Nelson kid who put together his best season with like 15 pass breakups, 4 picks. And is Kendall Fuller, will he remain a primary slot defender? So you got Orlando Scandrick, right? I think he's probably the odd man out. The Chiefs signed him as a late addition to the roster after the Redskins cut him back in August. But the 31-year-old cover man recorded 15 pass breakups and an interception in 15 appearances, which included 7 starts. But Nelson had a far better year as a full-time starter. And Fuller off his more upside going into his age 24 campaign. But Kansas City Chiefs should look to replace him with a top-notch cornerback in the draft or upgrade their 31st-ranked pass defense. If you like the episode, you want to support, make a donation on the Anchor app. Hit the support button. You can make donations as low as 99 cents a month to help me bring you better quality. I got a mixer coming, some boards, a few microphones, so it's going to start to get better. We got some sponsors coming in. We're really starting to hit it. We're close to 100,000 downloads. Thank you very much for listening. And any recommendations, you know, I'm only glad to hear them. But we'll be back with more and see what's going on with other teams around the NFL. Thanks for listening. It's Mikey Ribello. Can we keep it real? Always keep it authentic and always keep it 100%.